portion of it. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. What we see here is Paul doing what Paul should have done. When you're saved, and I believe that he was members of churches prior to this, but what he desired to do was come to Jerusalem and join the church at Jerusalem. And of course, with his reputation, everybody says, no way. Absolutely not. This could be a spy. He could be here with the purpose of arresting us. This guy's got a bad reputation. Absolutely not. And folks, it is good to protect the flock. It's good. It's good to protect the church. We can't just sit there and have we can't be silly about this. We can't be fools. All right? There are false doctrines that will come in if we allow the wrong kind of people in. There are bad attitudes. There is sin that will come in if we are not careful. Right? When you talk to somebody, well, it's been great having you here. I'd love to sit down and talk with you. And they come in and they talk with you for a little bit. And I said, what's your intention here, man? We love having you. We'd love to see you stay a long time. What are you thinking? Well, I'd really like to come in and join the church. Why? Well, the other church, they wouldn't let me be a teacher. They wouldn't let me do this. They wouldn't let me do that. And I'm looking for a church that would allow me to do that. I said, well, that's wonderful. We are absolutely hoping to grow the church to the point to where we have those opportunities. Yeah, they just didn't like me because, you know, I drank. And they didn't like me because I got into a fist fight with the pastor's wife in the parking lot. And Well, that might be a problem here. See, I knew we got to be careful. And sometimes you get busybodies come in. Sometimes you get people who just are looking for a following. We had that at Fly Rock. Somebody came in, and that was what they wanted to do. They wanted to become the pastor of the church, and they thought the best way of doing that would be to get a bunch of people together and just start questioning everything and started teaching doctrines contrary to the Bible, hoping to get people who would follow. But that's the problem when you encourage your church to read the Bible. Most people can see malarkey where it sits. Most people can see the false religion when people are teaching it, when you encourage people to read. So it's good to be careful. However, this was the will of God. It was the will of God that Paul would be a useful part of the Lord's work. And of course, they sat there, no, we wouldn't have anything to do with it. But there's a few things that we see here in this very small little passage of scripture we're looking at. There's a lot that we can see. Number one, the importance of joining into something. What is a church? A called out assembly. If I'm going to do the work of God, I've got to do what Paul did and join a local New Testament Baptist church. I have to. There's too many people out there. Oh no, I can do this on my own. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you got to train a pastor or a preacher. Well, I tell you what, we got two young women in our church right now seeking higher education. They are going to be taught, they're going to be tested, and then once they have achieved that point, what do? Then they get the job, right? And we're happy with that. Imagine this. Imagine going to your doctor. And the doctor says, hey, listen, I'm retiring. I'm bringing in this new person to keep their practice going. Now, this new person here that I'm bringing in, they're right over here. They didn't go to a traditional college. They didn't have traditional teachers. They didn't do a regular fellowship. They didn't do any of the things you'd normally expect. But here's what they did. So crazy. They bought all the textbooks, learned from them themselves. And then they experimented. And they did different, lab things that you would do on, dead animals and on the relatives. So that's where they did their residency. Who here is looking for a new doctor? Doc, that's wonderful. I wish him all the best. I'm moving. doctors. Not staying. Why? Because we want someone who knows what they're doing and has been tried and tested by people who know what they're doing. So that's exactly what we need to see within the church. Oh, well, we could go out and start any kind of work that we could. Go out. You know what? There's that nice little restaurant down there that's sat vacant. We got a phone call a few months ago asking if we would like to buy it. Just right on down there. Yeah, that's why I said, well, we're a church, not a business. How funny would that be for us to run a restaurant together? That would be one of those reality TV shows waiting to happen. Go on down there, buy yourself that restaurant, slap some golden arches on it, and see what happens. Don't like McDonald's? Put a Taco Bell sign on there. Call yourself Taco Bell and see what happens. Taco Bell's coming after you. Don't like cooking? Put a Dollar General there. Why? They're everywhere else. Put one there. Did you see that one off of, what is it? Is it Mount Morris Road going down there? It is like a Family Dollar and a Dollar Tree at the same time. I had to go in there just to figure it out. I said, why? And they go, well, we're owned by the same parent company. And they said it to me as though it was just supposed to be like, oh, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. It's like walking into a Taco Bell Pizza Hut. You ever see those? Ridiculous. Sorry, rabbit. Going back to it. If you try to slap any of those big corporation names on that building, they're coming for you. Why? Because you don't hold to their standard, you don't understand their practices, and you have no right to the name they built. You following me? So some random guy in the church, some random gal in the church, can't sit there and go, I got me an idea. I'm going to go out there and start one. You go out there, start whatever you want, but don't you put the Lord's church on there. Don't you claim to be one of the Lord's. Well, you must be tried. You must be tested. You must be checked for failure. It just makes me sad. So what do we need? We need church membership. We need to understand how the thing works before we can go out and start one. We need to make sure that we know the work to it, the stuff that's required. So we absolutely need church membership. And in that church membership, what then is important? Part of that is being able to do the work, putting yourself, making yourself available to do the work. You know, I love having a work day where we got so many people in. I love having the conference, seeing so many people doing so many different things. I like things like this morning where, hey, I'll song lead, we'll do the snow, we'll do the salt, and here I'll bring a devotion, and we've got so many different people doing so many different things within the building. It is wonderful to see people serving the Lord. And we need to. Paul did not find himself above joining the church. Jesus himself went forward to baptism. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? So we see the importance of church membership. We see that he must be, again, accepted of the people because he couldn't have joined had they not said yes, which means no is on the table. And if no is on the table, we better make sure that our yeses mean something, which is why, again, it is so important that we get to know the people before we bring them in. But we got to get to know them in a proper way. We can't sit there, be overwhelming skeptics of everybody who walks in. And that segues us into the next thing. They didn't like him. They did not like him. And they had every reason to. Well, let's not sit here and be ridiculous and say, well, they should have just welcomed him in with open arms. No, they had reason to. But there was something about him that stunk. I've known a lot of people who come to join churches and people recognize them from the neighborhood. And they say, oh, I know that guy. We'll have a funeral or something. I'll get to know some of the people who used to come here or people who grew up with the folks that went here. And they'll say stuff. Oh, I know them. Yeah, I remember when they were younger. They used to be like this. They used to be like that. Peter Ruckman, he was a pastor down south. He said this about one. He lived a rough life. He had some rough life friends. You guys know what it's like, you know. Your drinking buddies. The people that you were teenagers with that you got rowdy with. And he was saved. And he's sitting there and goes, well, what am I supposed to tell my friend? What am I supposed to tell him? That I can't go out and do this anymore? How do I convince him that I can't go do it? And the pastor told him, said, hey, listen, when you tell him that you're saved and you don't drink anymore, you don't have to get rid of him. He'll leave. He'll leave. Sure enough, his buddy says, hey, listen, work day is over. Why don't you come on over to the bar with me? And he goes, you have to understand, I'm saved. I don't do that anymore. I can't do that. I've been wringing my hands trying to figure out how I'm going to tell you this. But I don't go drinking anymore. Sure enough, that guy stopped calling him. That guy stopped inviting him. One day, the Lord called that guy to preach. And he's preaching in the pulpit. And he has this ministry now. And he's preaching all over. And he comes back to his hometown to preach. He's invited back to his old church. And that man had to hear him preach. So he comes to the church, something him and his family wouldn't normally do, brings his family into the church just to hear and prove to himself that this man is still the man he knew. Ruckman gets up and he preaches. And he goes to the back to shake his old friend's hand. His old friend starts to cry. Because what he proved is, I am what I say I am. I am what God made me. And that old drinking buddy, he saw that. And the Lord saved him. We aren't what we used to be. We are what God has made us. And what God continues to make us. It ought not be our desire to make anybody uncomfortable coming through that door. You know, I've been there where it's, you know, everybody who shows up 5 minutes before the bell gets a smile from the pastor. Anybody who shows up after that gets a chin wagging, or my least favorite, a dirty look. No, it shouldn't be the way it is. Someone comes in covered with tattoos. Someone comes in with bloodshot eyes. Someone comes in just looking like they slept last night on the street. They ought to be just as comfortable walking through those doors as anybody else is. Just as comfortable to sit in our pews. Just as comfortable to come to our fellowships and our festivities. Absolutely. Should we be wise as serpents? Absolutely. But we cannot forget to be as harmless as doves. As Paul would later go on to say in his life, as such were some of you. Paul had to remember this the rest of his days. I used to be this. And people looked at me a certain way because I was this. Going forward, he would teach everybody love, compassion, but work as hard as you can to separate yourself from your sin nature. Be better. Not the modern day, come as you are, stay as you are. But the godly, come as you are and be different. So church membership, very important. Next we see the discernment there. But what is it that cut the difference? What is it that cut the difference? Well, one who had been there, going back to our text, we'll read this in verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And I'm in the wrong passage, aren't I? Absolutely. I'm looking at last week's notes. Thank you. I knew I was off, could you tell? And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. What made the difference? His behavior. His behavior. What cuts the difference between someone who is saved and someone who is lost? Their behavior. If they get up and they're preaching the Lord and they're excited and oh, they're just glad to be a part and their attitude is good and they are serving, they got a mind to work and they maintain it. I tell you what, that's somebody worth paying attention to. But what we get often instead is this. We bring in what we believe to be a good sheep, and all of a sudden we start to see wolf hair being shed around the church. You know what I'm talking about? Petty gripes, arguments. Where before there was unity throughout the body, there's now schisms. Well, I don't think it was very right that she said that about you. I'll give you this illustration at Flat Rock. We have a dessert table just like anywhere else. Now, here y'all got a good system. I like our system here. I prefer it. We've got a great big table set up. All the desserts are out there. You can see all of them. At Flat Rock, somebody constructed this little box thing. Like you could go vote at it. Next time you're at Flat Rock, go look at it. The purpose is this. So you could have a table. And then you can put the desserts on top of this thing, too. It's like a two-tiered system for desserts, right? You got to be tall to see the ones on top. So you put all the stuff you don't want the kids to have up top. The problem is this, is that some people's desserts, they get pushed towards the back. So you can't see it if you're tall enough. You can't see that dessert back there. And we found out that those desserts are the ones who are the least touched. I heard a conversation between two ladies one time. Well, you know they put yours back there because they don't like you. Now, you know me. I'm a quiet and restrained person, so I just said nothing and I prayed on it nicely. Man, I wish I was that person. I just kind of looked at him and you're not supposed to talk to teens. You're not supposed to talk to your elders this way. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. What? We've got exactly room for three desserts on that table. And because of the position of yours, if you want that dessert, go get it. You want those cookies, go get it. You want that? But that's wolf hair. That's wolf hair across the... And sure enough, that lady, she didn't stay very long. And I think it had nothing to do with me, by the way. And stay very long. There's a lot of other issues. Cause trouble here or there, cause contention. And that's what some people do. They'll breeze in the door, they'll cause contention and problems for about 6 months, then they're gone. You sit there and you look at that kind of behavior and you go, oh, that probably wasn't real. There's probably nothing to it. You know, when you sit in and you dust everybody up for a few months, and then you go on and you're not even going to a Baptist church, you're going to some other thing. Just whatever you could find out there, that's the devil doing the devil's work. That's the wolf coming in to cause contention over. And I didn't just give you a silly illustration. That's the way the wolves do. They find ridiculous things and they stir everybody up with them. Or you got people who go out there and they'll do big things, name calling and arguing. What did Paul do? He worked. And he didn't just work quietly, he put himself on the line. He put himself out there publicly. He put himself out there in Damascus, no less, in a place where he would have been seen, in a place that already had the eyes of the Sanhedrin, of the Pharisees. They already had attention on the church that was growing there. And he goes and he preaches. You could not more loudly declare your protest than John Hancock writing his name like that. Like it was the equivalent. You all saw that, right, in the Constitution, how John Hancock wrote his name. We went to D.C. That was the first. Our kids were going to go see the Constitution. And sure enough, we had to, like, go so fast through the thing you could barely see anything. But I risked getting in trouble just to stop and look at John Hancock's. Look at that. Declaration of Independence. Isn't that wonderful? You had to walk by and see all those important documents. Look, aha! It says, as bold to preach out loud in a city like that. There's no question that he renounced his old way of living. And folks, that's what we must have done. That's what we must do. Renounce the old way of living. Wasn't it dangerous for him? Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I tell you what, somebody comes in and the Lord saves them, or they get right with God, and they come into the church today, and they change their life. There's no physical risk there in our country. We need to be glad for that every day. That anybody could come in, the Lord could save them, they change their lives, there's no risk. For Paul, it was incredibly risky. Because number one, he's getting real close to the people he vexed for a long time. And now he's vexing people whose authority he used to have to go and vex other people. They were not above it. Very dangerous for him. When we see a change, when we see as what John the Baptist called fruits meet for repentance, then we go, come on in. Come on in. So we see church membership is important. Some discernment is important. And in that discernment, if we see a life that is changed, then we move on and we welcome them in with love. Verse 28, and he was with them. Initially, they said no. Then what? After Barnabas gets up and he says, no, this guy, he is what he says he is. This guy can talk the talk and walk the walk. Then he was with them. What happened? They voted again. That's what happened. They voted again. I mean, you got to be with them to be with them. They voted again. They brought him in. And what did he do? He stayed with them. This is not a jumping off position. This was not a, well, you know, how did somebody tell me this one time? When you're a pastor, your first pastorate's going to be a very small flock, and you stay there for a few months just to get your bearings, and then you go to a real church. Now, don't worry, that guy's not in ministry today. But that was his opinion. And he had 500 to 600 people showing up on a Sunday morning. Who were the rest of us to argue? But that's not the way I was taught. My pastor, his very first pastorate, he took at 27. It is 30 years this year. He's still there. That's the way I was taught. You stay there till God moves you. That's what you do. And I've seen people do it, hit the other guy's way. And you know what? Not a lot of them ever made it into the pastorate. And those that didn't stay. And we can sit there in your graduating class from, I didn't graduate with them. There were some issues with the school and I left. But when the people who took preacher's training with you, when you can count on one shop teacher's hand the amount of people who are remaining in the ministry, there's a problem with that thought, with the thought process we were given. He was with them. I'm here. This is not a jumping off period. This is not me seeking leadership. This is not me stepping stoning my way up to glory. Paul never had glory. Paul never was the pastor of a massive church. He was a missionary all the time. But first, he had to submit himself. First, he had to learn from those who learned at the hands of the master. But he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. Whatever. You guys are going out? I'm going out. You guys are coming in? I'm coming in. That ought to be every church member. What are we doing? I'm doing it. Where are we going? I'm going. Now again, physical restrictions, whatever have you, we got to be We've got to be realistic. Do I have the ability to do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I put those little invitation cards in the back, and I challenged you last week. Give it to one person. Did you do it? Now, I caught you. One of you dropped the card in the parking lot. And because it's a windy day, I'll never know what dog. One of you dropped it in the parking lot. Did we give out an invitation card? Hey, if we're going out, we're going out. If we're coming in, we're coming in. How often do you pray for your church? Check your vocabulary. When we talk about our church, do we say we or they? If we're acting opposed to our church, if we're doing things opposite to it, things we know that are sin, we're more prone to say they. And sometimes when it gets really bad, we no longer say they, we say the pastor. Well, the pastor won't allow that. Well, the pastor would think this. The pastor would think that. Man, I tell you what, I've listened to a lot of Brother Titus's sermons. I don't have much on the other preachers. You know I've listened to a lot of Brother Gordon's sermons. I still listen to Brother Gordon's sermons. I get them fresh off the interweb. I know what they taught. They taught the book. They taught the book. So you don't have a problem with the church. You don't have a problem with the pastor. You have a problem with the book. And if the pastor's off on the book, if the church is off on the book, well then, hey, they're wrong. Because the book is right. Amen? Book is right. So if it's in the book and you don't like it, well, it ain't me. It ain't the church. It ain't the pastor. It ain't they. It's us. Amen? It's us. It's got to be we. I do this because I'm trying to honor God. I don't do that because I'm trying to honor God. Not to fit into a group, not to join the cabal, not to be, not to avoid dirty looks. Listen, man, I ain't a handsome guy. All I got is dirty looks. Sometimes they're smiling, sometimes they're not. I ain't going to fulfill your day by you looking at my face. I'm trying to serve the Lord ought to be our song. So they go out, I go out. They go in, I go in. And what was he doing in this going out and coming in? And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. He aggravated the sinners. He aggravated the sinners. With what? The intention to... No, you know, I've known some people, they were contentional. They just loved contention. You know the difference between contention and standing up for what's right? Your method. Your method. I saw a young pastor. I know what you're thinking. Takes one to know one. But I saw a young pastor. He put something unscriptural out, an unscriptural point of view out there. And he posed it as a question. Now, I know that I could do what every other person out there was doing, and I could go after him in the comments, but I don't like that. That's contention. That's me dogging on you in public so I can look good. You know what I did? I reached out to the guy privately. I like that. You have a lot more friends when you do that. The truth has a lot more ability to work when you do that. But when you're just insulting and throwing haymakers, man, I got to be done. But when you come down to these disputes, he was disputing with the Grecians. When you get to somebody whose wells run short, they start calling you names, right? I was talking to some family members, and they were howling over the audit that's going on in the government right now. Why? Because Chief Running Mouth, Elizabeth Warren. was up there. Everyone's gonna starve. We're gonna kill all these people. Elon Musk is a billionaire. You tell me how much money you've made. Remember her? Remember her little argument? Oh, I've never taken money from the pharmaceutical industry. And then recently we found out she absolutely did. So they're all family members. They're all upset. They're all bummed. I can't believe they're doing this. And I got to a point with some of them. And they said, well, you're just a fool. You don't understand. You're uneducated. You don't get it. I go, oh, no, you know, I've chased a toddler around the room when they got something they don't want me to know what they got. I've done that four periods in my life where I've had to chase a toddler who had something they shouldn't have had. And before that, I was chasing things out of dogs' mouths when they had things they shouldn't have had. And you know what I have found? The behavior is the exact same. No! No! We can fight all day. These Grecians, you know, people like that, they get to the point where they start insulting you. Then you go, oh no, you've run out of ammo. So now you're throwing names. They wanted to kill him. When you have enough truth in you to run down the people who don't know to the point where they got to hurl insults or, in Paul's case, kill you, you're on the right path. But you can't get there without knowing what the Bible says, knowing right and wrong, and having a good practice in doing it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive me for going so long. But Lord, we need to understand the role of church membership. We need to understand the role of your service. That Lord, we're not going to be able to invent it. We got to do it your way. So Father, I beg that you teach us, Lord, to be better church members. And Lord, give us the strength to do so too. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.